You good?
He's good. He's got the big thumb. He's a record button.
Yeah.
Actually, are you familiar with that song? I think it's by Cake. It's like reluctantly crouched at the starting line, and then engines beating, turning in time, and then eventually it's like, he's going the distance. Dun, dun, dun. He's going for speed. Jeff's just letting me go with this.
Yeah, you have no idea what song? You're talking about.
Oh,
no.
Man. Well, we'll have to play that song later. For the listeners out there that don't know the song, I'm sorry. For those of you that do, you're welcome.
Or they're not any more interested in it than I am.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, yeah. Our producer doesn't know either. Jason doesn't know either.
Have you ever heard the...
Now I feel like I need to play it.
Have you ever heard that medieval... I think it came from maybe Martin Luther. It's a fable. And it says... it's about the devil went down to Georgia, and he was looking for a soul to steal. Oh, have you heard this? And he was at a bind because he was way behind, mm-hmm. So he was willing to make a deal.
Yeah.
So he jumped up on a hickory stump.
Well, hey, thanks for checking out today's episode of Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. I'm Joe Caruso, and we are glad you're here, even though I'm not sure you might be glad you're here. But with so many voices out there talking about random songs and going back to, I forget, who'd you attribute
Joe,
that to?
This sounds not
Martin,
random.
Martin Luther? Is that who you gave
it's
it credit to?
It's a spiritual faith. Yeah. It was in the hymn book I sang from growing
well, with
up.
All those voices out there. It better not have been in the hymn book. There are probably churches out there that it would be. But... they might be news, they might be social media, comedians, friends, bad hymnals, all these voices.
It's a story about a boy named Johnny.
It's tough to know what to think or how to make decisions. But I would like to help you sort through all the noise and think through.
You remember that? He bet a fiddle of gold against his soul is to think he's better than him.
Yep, think through
and the boy
things
was
in
like,
a way
my
that allows you to
Johnny,
cut through the mixed messages around us.
But I'll take your bet, and you're going to regret, because I'm the best there's ever been.
Let's find the way to Jesus.
And then what Johnny did is he rosined up his bow, and he played his fiddle hard.
So I just do the outro now? Should this be the whole podcast?
you didn't study this in seminary?
No, we went to the same one. I'd say I went to a good one. But
yeah, there were chickens and bread pounds and pans picking out dough. All kinds of. I mean, it's pretty.
I think I'm most impressed by how long you're drawing this out.
I'm trying to tell you, this is very symbolic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doom, doom,
devil's
doom.
In the house of the rising sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chicken in a bread pound pan picking out dough.
Yeah.
You don't remember any. You didn't study this. This was
not
maybe
from
it was
my
C.S. Lewis that wrote
not
that.
From my studies. No,
it might
I don't
been
remember
C.S.
this.
Lewis
yeah.
that wrote all that.
This is good. If only there was a way to have, like, you know, some resources for people to check out this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you guys, take those, what I just quoted you, I'm pretty sure it was C.S. Lewis. It might have been Spurgeon. I can't remember.
You know what's funny is, like, for the audience out there that literally has no idea what you're talking about, they're taking you at your word right now. for the record, it's not C.S. Lewis, and it's not a theological perspective, and it was never taught in seminary. Oh, it's terrible. Okay. Well, we have a question today. Should we get into it?
All right.
Or do you want to banter about
it? I'm in a bantering mood, but we'll question. Let's do a question, Joe.
Let's do a question. Awesome. Very, very good. I love shooting podcasts.
Did you even do the intro? Did we do the intro?
Yeah, well,
I missed it.
I did, but
I think it was cool.
You were quoting over top of it. If this is your first episode ever of Mixed Messages, I'm sorry. Like, this is... You still don't know what we're doing or why we're doing it.
No.
Or who to trust or not trust. But, hey, end of the day, go to the scripture, seek after Jesus, follow us for the rest of the conversation, see where it goes.
Don't bet your soul against a fiddle of gold.
No, don't do that. Matter of fact, I would say in general, if you're going to bet your soul, you probably shouldn't do it.
Just
generalized advice. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Somebody walks up to you and says, you want to bet your soul on that? Like, that's a time to walk away.
No, I'm not doing that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but, that's good advice, Joe.
But it seems like a good idea. Nope, it's not. I promise you. It's not. Oh, goodness. Well, This is one of those times where our banter has no natural segue into the question, Jeff.
Yeah, well.
Sometimes I try, and I try to pull it together.
So we're gonna seek God through the mixed messages of our life. Joe, what's the question that our listeners sent in?
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. Well, our question is, hey, our friend's daughter, who's in grade school, that our friend's daughter's best friend has two moms. His daughter has questions. How does my friend explain this situation to his daughter, knowing she may very well repeat what he says to her friend? How does he and his wife interact with the two moms without destroying the kid's friendship? Is there truth? Is there compassion? Is there sacrifice? Mm. How do I navigate this, what seems to be a confusing situation?
That is a very difficult situation and difficult question, and I actually appreciate the heartbeat behind asking it. Mm-hmm. I think as you were saying that, you're like, is there truth? Is there compassion? Is there sacrifice? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, it's all of that, all of that. This is where I would start. When we think about situations like this, so we believe that the Bible is very clear about the definition of a Christ-centered marriage. Mm-hmm. First of all, let me just caveat here for a second. I actually don't like the term biblical marriage. Mm-hmm. Because there are many types of marriages in the Bible. And so it's just a bad term to like hang your hat on. The term I would hang my hat on is Christ-centered marriage. Mm-hmm. Because the Apostle Paul is extremely clear about this, and so are so is the rest of the scripture, I think, but extremely clear that marriage is to represent the church's relationship with Christ and Christ's relationship with the church. And that marriage is between a biological man and a biological woman. Mm-hmm. And we come together as one heart, one life, one body to represent the unity between Jesus and his church and the church and Jesus. And so Ephesians, the end of chapter 4 and chapter 5 is explicitly clear about that. And there are other very clear scriptures in the scripture. So when I look at the issue of or the question of marriage in the scripture, there's great clarity. Mm-hmm. And so I just look and say the point of our marriage between a biological man, biological woman, is actually to be a testimony to the heart and the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. So our friend who's talking about, our listener who's talking about his daughter and how does he and his wife explain the girl that has two moms, what I would say to you is that you actually have the opportunity in your marriage to represent the heart of Christ mm-hmm. towards somebody else's relationship. And so, yes, this is difficult and it can be confusing, but difficult, confusing circumstances are also wonderful opportunities. And I think before the Lord, these aren't things that we should be afraid of or paranoid of. I think we should count those trials as a joy and see it as a great opportunity. So I just want to start there, that would be the starting point for Grace Church. And I feel very confidently that it's the starting point of Scripture. From there, the second question that you need to ask when you're dealing with sexual identity issues is actually not a sexual identity question. So the second question, the first question is, how am I representing the heart and the mind of Christ to the neighbor, mm-hmm. to the outsider? The second question is not a sexual identity question. It's a spiritual identity question. Am I talking about someone who says that they are a follower of Jesus or not?
Yes.
So if this these household with two moms is not a household that's centered around Christ, that completely changes the conversation. So if these are non-believers who do not profess to follow Christ in any way, shape, or form, then they are to be treated as a lost person who is blinded spiritually, who's in darkness spiritually, who's imprisoned, who's enslaved, who's dead in their trespasses and sin. That is the same place that All of us start spiritually. The Bible says that every person has sinned and falls short of the glory of God, and we are blinded, and we are lost, and we are imprisoned, and we are enslaved. And so that's a huge indicator. And the Apostle Paul says something interesting when he's correcting people who are followers of Jesus Christ in one of his epistles. He asks a question. He said, What business is it of mine what outsiders do?
Mm-hmm.
And so unbelievers not believing what we believe and not placing themselves under the authority of Scripture, which we do, and not holding themselves to the teachings of Jesus, there's nothing weird about that. There's nothing unusual about that.
Yep.
And I think we have to say that conversation a lot, because if you look at a non-Christ-centered worldview of love, then love who you love and loving someone of the same gender makes all the sense in the world.
Sure.
And if you have a non-Christ-centered view of what marriage is, that marriage is a romantic outcome and a love outcome, then gay marriage makes all the sense in the world. It's only because we put ourselves under the authority of Scripture and we put ourselves under the definition of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and because we view marriage as a holy, sacred thing, not simply a romantic thing,
mm-hmm.
that we hold to the views of Scripture.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I believe that our position is the position of truth. I just would agree with the Apostle Paul that it's wasted outrage or wasted frustration to look at a group of people who don't know anything about that or don't care and allow that to define our interaction with mm-hmm. them. They are simply lost. They need the hope and the love of Jesus, and that is the priority
mm-hmm.
in how we interact with them. So I would say to our listener that you and your family, loving them and making that clear age appropriately to your daughter,
mm-hmm.
that, yeah, we look at this situation, we look at this idea that these two moms are quote-unquote married, and we don't agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of things in culture that we don't agree with that we can't
mm-hmm.
because we put ourselves under the definition of Scripture. And we love them, and we pray for them, and we care for them, and we care about them without agreeing
mm-hmm.
with them. There are all kinds of people who are in other marriages. There are believers not married that are married to unbelievers. There are certain situations with divorces. There are people living together. They may all be heterosexual,
mm-hmm.
but the Scripture would be as clear
mm-hmm.
in those circumstances as it is in this circumstance. But we would love and interact with them
mm-hmm.
in a kind and gentle way.
Yeah, marriage isn't some kind of, oh, at least they're married, and somehow that fixes everything. Marriage is either a godly covenant, as you're illustrating and teaching, or some people use that as like the legal union that the state recognizes, but that doesn't solve everything or anything for that matter.
That's right, and we would even be very aware of marriages that there's two Christ-following people and they don't have a healthy marriage.
Right.
So we just have to be careful that we don't pick one thing and treat it differently. Now,
mm-hmm.
all of that is in the context of they are not Christ followers and don't claim to be.
Mm-hmm.
Where this question becomes difficult, I don't think difficult to understand, I think the ramifications are difficult,
mm-hmm.
is when they are Christ followers or they claim to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're into some very complex scripture and some scripture that makes us uncomfortable. So again, what leads the way is love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving you. I care for you. I'm compassionate toward you. I'm not being a jerk. I'm not doing any of those things. But that love then is going to drive me to speak truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, any relationship that is not in a Christ-centered covenant that we call marriage, that the Bible calls marriage, that is not between two believers who are actively pursuing Christ is a marriage that is outside of the parameters and the definition of how God defines it. That can be two people living together in a heterosexual relationship. That can be certain divorce situations. Mm-hmm. That can be an abusive marriage without that is a legally binding marriage and there is no divorce, but it's abusive. It can be neglectful. It can be spiteful. And it can be same-sex. And all of those examples, and there's 1,000 more, I'm mm-hmm. sure, need to be addressed through a biblical lens of exhortation, of correction, of rebuke, and even of church discipline, mm-hmm. if so called for. So really, that distinction is a very clear distinction. And what happens a lot of times is we take what the Scripture directs us to do to each other, and we do it to outsiders, and what the Scripture tells us to do to outsiders, we do to each other. So we'll see a brother or sister in sin in the church, and we'll ignore it, say, that's not my business. And somebody who's not a brother or sister in Christ outside, and we're like, I'm going to get in your business. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's the exact opposite, because one is out there somewhere, mm-hmm. and the other is close in. One has few ramifications to it. If you're living in sin somewhere else and I don't know you, there's very little ramifications to your lifestyle and what I believe is truth. Mm-hmm. If you're doing that close in, if I agree with what the Scripture says about marriage, then I need to agree with what the Scripture says about everything else.
Yeah,
which right. is exhorting, rebuking, correcting, all the way through to church discipline. And if that is the situation, and he's asking, like, how do we parent our daughter through that? Well, that's a very difficult thing to parent through. So, again, you're showing love, you're showing grace, compassion, you're showing an openness and a willingness to receive someone relationally, especially at the beginning of this. And then you're looking and saying, how do I teach my daughter to love their little girl, mm-hmm. love these people, but also know that what they're doing is counter to what mm-hmm. Scripture is saying? And you get into things like confronting, you get into things like turning things over to the church leadership, all the Matthew 18 stuff. Mm-hmm. Some of that is your role as a brother in Christ, sister in Christ. Some of that becomes the elder's responsibility. Mm-hmm. You turn it over to the church. But that's where it gets complex and hard. But it is a great opportunity to show the love and the compassion of Christ uh-huh. To your daughter,
right?
Who is going to need that in her own life. So this is what's fascinating as a parent. How we interact with other people's sin teaches our kids how we'll interact with theirs. Uh-huh. And so that example is as strong, because if your daughter sees you interact in an ungodly, unkind, harsh way to someone else's sin, she will grow up learning not to confess hers to you. If she sees you being passive, mm-hmm. she will grow up assuming you will be passive toward hers. So godliness guided by the Scripture with the wisdom of many counselors is the name of the game with this.
Yeah. I think that whenever we're confronted with situations that seem obvious, like in this case, this listener is asking a question because this scenario with this other family feels very obvious, like a dissonance with their followership of Jesus and what they're seeing in this other family. These are actually good times to almost reflect, how do we even interact with other things that we see in our lives or other people's lives, and how do we navigate that? Because, like, growing up, I remember, honestly, one of the most disturbing experiences I had growing up was when I was about 8 years old, I went to a friend's house, and their mom was watching a pretty extreme horror movie, and she was like, hey, kids, come down and sit down and watch this with me. Well, I'm a guest in their home. I start watching this horror movie, and I'm not kidding you, Jeff, it was about 8 years of nightmares later. I mean, I'm not exaggerating at all. Like, it wrecked me as a small child. Well, how do you interact with another family who's going to let their kids watch movies that you don't want your kids to watch? Like, it's actually a similar principle. Well, are they believers? Are they not? How are you loving them but still drawing certain lines? How are you explaining to your child, hey, listen, when you go to your friend's house, if they start watching something you're uncomfortable with, you don't have to watch it. Like, so you're teaching them a very similar principle, but we might not forget to address it as parents when it seems, quote unquote, minor. It's only when it's some of these things that like spike our attention that we realize, oh, we need to dig into helping our kid navigate these things.
Yeah, there's like a skill set, a wisdom set around that. And I think you're making a great point. There's boundaries. There's boundaries to relationships. When my kids were little, there were certain kids we didn't invite over as much.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do have to shepherd them. Mm-hmm. I do have to say, this kid's a good influence, this one's a bad influence. And then as they grow in wisdom, depending on the strength of the kid, you know, so some of my kids' friends were smoking pot and doing whatever. I didn't say they could never hang out with them. I was just very vocal. I'm like, listen, who are you going out with? So-and-so. All right. You know they're going to get high. Yeah, I'll leave when that starts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I wanted them to learn how to interact with people who weren't as Christ-centered as they were. I wanted them to learn to interact with the world. I didn't want to be naive, and I didn't want to be boundaryless.
Mm-hmm.
The younger they are, the tighter those boundaries. There's parents who have a no sleepover policy.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're crazy. Now, we let sleepovers happen, but it depended.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to.
Yes, it does.
And a lot of it's your relationship with the other parents and all those kind of things. And so you have the right to be a parent regardless of what the other parents are struggling with.
Yes.
I think what you're saying is wise, because I think for Christ followers, sexual identity issues are taboo, and they're also soapboxy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong, period. I'm not saying don't apply God's truth to sexual identity issues. I'm saying just apply it to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then explain that to your kids.
Yeah.
Right? Because if this was a man and a woman who were unmarried and living together, I don't know that the question would always be asked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as unbiblical, so to say.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
And so it's a, with gentleness, respect, love, I'm forming my kid with mm-hmm. God's word, and then I'm showing them and teaching them how to live that out. Most of the people in their life will not be passionate followers of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm training. I'm not training them really how to be friends with a friend who has two moms. I'm training them how to live life out with people
mm-hmm.
who are far from Christ or are false followers. So the Bible is really clear that goat and sheep are in the same pen,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus will separate them.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's not unusual.
No,
it's just something that you want to model for them as they go through it. Now, that's different if there's an agenda being pushed.
Sure.
That's different if blah, 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 blah. But that's what was, I don't know that she meant it in a aggressive way, but your friend's mom who had you watch a horror movie, whether she knows or not, was pushing an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to introduce you to something she wants to do. One of the things that like I would do as a parent, because we love movies and we especially like robot-on-robot violence or alien-on-alien violence. So I love action movies and my kids do. But I would say if they had a friend over, I would say, you need to call your dad and mm-hmm. see if you're allowed to watch this movie.
Yep.
And all I'm doing is not imposing, because my kids love Star Wars. They would have been just as happy with Finding Nemo.
Sure.
And that place in their life. And I knew that some parents have different, but that's me being careful,
mm-hmm.
you know, with somebody else's child. So that's what I wanted to model, and those are the parents I wanted to like work with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like my kids had a lot of freedom when they went to John and Carrie Summers' house.
Sure.
They had a lot of freedom. You know, I could go through a list, and I'm like, yeah, because we're on the same page. They also call. We double check with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as they got older, it became, can we get in the car? You know, right, right. As they got older, and like, Dad, we're all going to go to Taco Bell. I'm like, no, that kid's 16, and I'm responsible. You got to text your dad mm-hmm. or mom and say, is it okay if I run in the car with Taco Bell? I'm like, I don't feel like those were my decisions to make.
Yeah.
Well, all that winds up modeling for them. So this issue, I think you have real conversations. I think you do it with gentleness and respect. I think truth is truth.
Mm-hmm.
I think boundaries are something that you have to decide upon. I think you can love and accept people without looking and saying, you know, that I don't want you anywhere around this. I was looking at this quote we wrote down. This is Dr. Slattery. I like what she says. She says, we need to encourage believers to separate acceptance of a person from approval of their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a key to modeling grace and truth. I'm like, right, that's Jesus. When the woman's caught in adultery, Jesus is like, I love you and no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love you and go and sin no more. And we're like, well, you're accepting your behavior. I'm like, no, me being kind, me being loving, me being compassionate is different. I can still be clear.
Mm-hmm.
And I can still help my daughter to know. And when she asks the difficult questions, I'm training her
uh-huh.
in how to do those things. And if you want to draw the boundary, I like to say the great parental privilege is power. God gave me power. He gave me authority over my children.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to use that to protect them, not to control them, not uh-huh. to lord it over them, but I'm going to protect them. And if you feel like an agenda is being pushed or you don't think that your daughter's ready to be asking those questions, exercise your authority
mm-hmm.
to do those things.
I think a lot of what you're doing is, I don't think you've used these words yet, but you're reminding us to look at folks through the lens of like God's love for them. And so when you think of sharing truth with somebody, like, I think about sharing that through the lens of how much I love that person or how loved that person is. Because if it is a complete stranger, it's much easier to say something as straightforward as like, stop smoking cigarettes. It's not healthy for you.
Yeah.
But like, if you discovered that like a close family member had picked up smoking in the last year, I mean, you might even be like angry. Like, how could you do that? But you would like probably something like, hey, when did you pick this up? You know, and you would just have a totally different tone because you're remembering that you love this person. And so when we have these opportunities to share and to shape and to create boundaries for our kids, it's like these aren't people that are like, they're not the enemy.
Yeah.
They're an opportunity to show them how much you love them by helping them see the light of what Christ is inviting them towards.
I actually, what you're saying, I actually really appreciate this parent who asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could have just packed their kid up and said, we don't talk to people like that.
Sure could have.
And it's like, no, I want to try to figure this out. I think we have turned acceptance in love into enablement
mm-hmm.
and an affirmation.
Yeah.
And like, those are not, Jesus was not an enabler.
No.
But he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus did not affirm all of our own decisions, our wisdom, the way that seems right to a man, but in the end that leads in death, like our earthly wisdom. He does not affirm us in that.
Right.
But he's gracious to us. He's a truth teller who's full of truth and full of grace, and that's what we strive to do. And I would say to this parent and all parents, there is no formula to parenting. We should probably do some parenting podcasts.
Sure.
But there is no formula to parenting. And anybody who tells you that there is a liar. What there is...
Or naive.
Or naive, yeah. what there is there is you seeking the heart of God and you trying to invite your children into that journey with mm-hmm. you. So what I'm praying for this parent and all parents is lots of wisdom, lots of leading of the Holy Spirit, lots of courage, lots of communication. And then I think somewhere in there is we get to the extent of what we're able to do.
Yeah.
Use your authority, but use it in a loving way.
Well, that's really helpful, Jeff, and I hope that this is certainly helpful for our listener that asked this question. This is a multi-webbed topic, and it's actually something you mentioned, Dr. Slattery. She has so many resources that continue to surround issues exactly like this. She has a podcast called Java with Julie. Her ministry is called Authentic Intimacy. Go take a look at that. It's a great way to kind of deep dive into some of these areas if they apply to things you're interacting with. If you have questions you'd like us to tackle, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages and send them over our way. We'd also love to hear from you on how these conversations are helping, so don't be a stranger. Reach out, let us know, catch us in the lobby. We'd love to hear how God is interacting with you in your life. If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure to subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you at Grace this weekend if you're looking for a place to run after Jesus together. Thanks for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.